Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that can get that spot out of the carpet. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
the team reveals some Scope discoveries, Ted gets the review treatment, and Shane gets all weepy over the split of Tomcat.
And now, here are your hosts, Jarrett, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, Scope fans. Here we are again with another episode of your favorite podcast, The Scope, or The Scope Show. All right, episode 126.
I think it's officially The Scope, The Scope Show, just because the URL The Scope was taken. And
is it still taken?
The Twitter handle The Scope is taken and unused for years, which I'm very disappointed by.
Thousands of dollars we've offered that guy. Nothing.
Thousands?
No. Yeah.
I was not part of these budget meetings.
I mean, they were your money.
Right out of my savings account. Yeah. Well, the whole gang is here. You hear Adam's voice. You've heard Jared's as well. I am Shane. We're going to bring you a lot of fun stuff today.
Things seem really, really
mellow today. Well, it's like 100 degrees out. I feel like a lizard sunning himself on a rock.
And we've been up early. We were up early.
We're up early.
Doing stuff.
We got together as a group and went to see the movie Ted. We'll be talking about that a little bit later. And that was a 10 a.m. showing, meaning we were there by 9:30 with the four other people in Minnesota.
You were there that early, huh?
Yeah, right around 9:30.
You want to watch the entire pre-show entertainment package.
Jared and I have been, you know, we've been through this before. We're not new to the rodeo.
Right.
And sometimes you just have to be prepared because you don't know what's going to hit.
What do you mean?
Well, there could be 1,000 people that you just don't know.
I mean, I think you knew.
Okay, I did know. Okay.
Are you saying I could have slept in a little longer? Disappointed.
Maybe if Spider-Man is as big as they say it's going to be.
Spider-Man. Are we going to see that together as a group, holding hands again?
I don't know. Spider-Man's going to be tricky.
We got to discuss that.
There's a lot of discussion. Now, that's coming up in the week of Convergence, 4th of July.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
To fit that one in is going to be tricky.
All right.
So we'll talk about that.
It's going to be tight, y'all.
Another very appropriate clip, given our TED connections. So I wanted to talk a little bit about something that happened to me past week.
Right.
Not this week, the week before. Maybe it was one of the reasons why we did not have a show.
Which would have been last week.
Been last week. Jared knows a little bit about this.
About 2 or 3 years ago this happened.
I'm trying to weave a tale. I don't know if there's a good payoff. I don't know if there's a good, if it's going to end with a punchiness, but I thought that you
might enjoy
this.
Make up stuff at the end if it's
I appreciate
good.
That. Yeah. So I, for the past month or so, I've been having a major problem with reflux, acid reflux.
Oh.
So, and essentially, getting old stinks, Adam.
Right.
I hate it. And I've had problems with this for years. My dad's had problems with it. I think it's probably all of the chocolate and Arby's that I eat every single day.
Chocolate Arby's is not good.
And I mix them together.
Yeah, that's a tough combination.
So my doctor could not find out what's going on. They changed my medication. They took my pulse.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's usually the first step.
Well, we're alive.
Everything was working great.
We've ruled out cardiac arrest. Yeah.
So they decided that we got to get a little up close and personal, and they scheduled me an endoscopy. Do you know what that is, Adam?
I have to tell you, I had an endoscopy about 2 months ago.
Well, we can share the tale. You're keeping this from us.
I feel bad that I have not had an endoscopy.
Jared, yours is scheduled next week. Adam and I have taken care of that.
Voluntary endoscopies. First, I just want to ask you, how is your gag reflex?
I don't really have one.
Whoa. Like a slut.
Why are you? I don't really gag.
If you were not a straight gentleman, you would be very popular.
Yeah. I'll just say this. My reflux, normally some of the symptoms are, you know, you wake up choking, that sort of thing. Mine is just really bad heartburn.
Are you sure Carrie's not just mad at you?
Yeah. She's wake up. She's just over me like this. That's for the webcam.
Wait, you get acid we're talking about reflux.
Reflux. So some of my symptoms would include burning in my chest, burning in my back. I feel like
actual
there's
burning here in flames.
I feel like there's something stuck in my throat.
Huh. Yes.
So for the past month, I've thought I've got a giant tumor in my throat. Essentially, is what I thought I had, like a golf ball sized tumor in my throat.
It's fun.
So
Doctor
Woods,
very special.
Was this like
episode?
A Doctor Woods, a Titleist, a Nike? Yeah. What are we talking about?
I think it was a Tiger Woods special.
Okay, good. That's what I know. That's what I know where we're at.
Adam, to keep you involved in the story, please tell our listening audience what an endoscopy is.
They put a camera down your throat, down your esophagus.
And they look around.
Past your stomach and into the upper part of your large intestine.
Exactly.
And fun fact, in the UK...
There's something fun about this.
In the UK, it's pronounced aluminium.
Right. This is true.
And aluminium or something else? So they scheduled this thing for me, and I had about 2 weeks to wait on it. So you can imagine me being the hypochondriac that I am, that I don't even know if I share that.
Well, the cancer's not going to kill you in 2 weeks.
Not right away, so it's good.
Well, the cancer's not going to kill you in 2 weeks.
Whoops, sorry, I got to mute that.
What the heck?
I'm just checking on the live stream.
Oh, I thought that Jared was doing instant sound effects.
The scope. remix.
Anyway, so I had two weeks of...
That's as much remix as I got for you.
2 weeks to think about it, panicking every day. My doctor was not very concerned about it. My wife, who gets them every...
He's going to be fine. What does
he didn't care. My wife doesn't care. She's had she gets them every year. She has problems, so...
I can raise this kid on my own. Whatever.
Yep. I don't need him. I don't need a man.
Why did you get one, by the way, Adam?
I've had stomach issues since December.
Like toots, that sort of thing?
Yep, I've just been farting nonstop, and Mandy was... She was like, all right, you got to get an endoscopy immediately. I've had...
She's already... Like refluxy type thing, or just upset stomach?
They thought it was reflux, too, but it's not. They don't know what it is.
They don't know. So you still have it?
I have a follow-up in July.
Isn't that great? You and I, we could probably go together if we wanted to.
All right, let's hold hands.
So you go to the doctor.
Maybe it's just dairy. You don't like dairy.
It's stress. I mean, it can be a million different things.
Yes.
But probably cancer. Probably very serious cancer eating away at our bodies.
I think it's stomach gnomes.
So
I thought that's what cancer was.
Sure.
Small men. It's only men. Ladies don't live in there.
No. Too demure. And too much housework to do.
Well, I don't know if they have, how they did it when you went for your endoscopy.
Did you go to MNGI?
Minnesota Gastro.
Yeah.
I went to one in that same clinic in Edina.
It's the one I went to. Also.
Yeah, they're very posh.
You guys should double date next time.
It's a very strange how we've got these mimicking lives. So
I wouldn't dare share this on the podcast, but it's your lead story.
Why would you not share this?
I don't know. Who cares?
Well, you've been drawn into it, though, now.
Now you're sharing, and you and I are going to hold hands.
My job on this show is to make fun of all three of us.
Yeah, not to talk about life and death.
Exactly.
So they bring you in there, Jared, and they sit down, and they have a couple different people talk to you about the process. They ask you a million times, do you have family history, that sort of thing.
I have no family history. None. I was placed on this planet at age 21, born from the forehead of Zeus.
The forehead?
Sure.
It's the best part.
Yeah.
I was actually born from the third knuckle.
Well, it's better to be born from the forehead, Shane.
I think it is. So they do all the typical medical questions that you normally would get, and then they sit you down and they have you watch a video. Did you watch the video?
I watched the video, and it's weird because it plays on a Roku box.
Yes,
and I noticed this, and they're all set up to, and this is the only video that streams on it, I assume, but kind of explaining the process.
I didn't know that it was a Roku box, but I did notice that behind this 13-inch flat screen TV they have a little box, and there's a sticker about, you can stream your Netflix. I'm going to go thinking to you, do people sit back here long enough where they're watching, Air Bud?
Is this on a Roku channel? If I went upstairs to my Roku box, could I watch this endoscopy video?
Probably.
Let's just assume, yes.
Endoscopy?
They're very, the video is very calming. They have a lot of nice-looking people explaining to you the situation. So it calmed me, but then they kind of sit you down, and your nurse comes in and talks to you, gives you more information.
Very pretty lady.
The nurse that I had was a knockout.
I'm serious.
A blonde.
We might have had the same lady.
No, I think I don't.
I left Mandy. This is the other breaking news.
The second woman to talk to me
was
not actually my nurse. She was sort of like running the floor, so she was a nicer lady, but more of an Ellen cut than anything else.
Okay.
The nurse who actually talked to me while I was laying on the table was...
Does she like to wear men's suits?
Was a blonde gal with long blonde hair, Jared, and she was something else.
That blonde.
When they come into the second time and they're talking to you, they're starting to get into specifics. And I'm thinking, oh, they don't knock you out. That's the one thing about an endoscopy. They give you sedation.
Yep.
So
it is a strong sedation.
It is. And
my story will be about that.
My wife. Very nice. Prostitute. when she explained it to me, she said she doesn't remember it. And I'm like, okay, good. I'm going to go in, and it's just going to be like when I had my kidney stone removed. But they start talking to you, the nurses. They're like, okay, you just have to remember that there's going to be a tube going down your throat, and you've got to keep remembering to breathe through your nose, and don't panic. And it was very kind of nerve-wracking to me. I'm thinking, wait a second, lady. You're kind of painting this like I'm going to remember a lot more of this. I'm going to be much more aware of this whole situation than I ever thought I would. And I just picture myself with a tube down my throat, just, you know, like something out of Aliens.
Wow.
And I was getting really freaked out.
Yep.
So she goes through this. She tells you to take off your clothes, masturbate in front of her, of course. Or actually,
just take off your top.
Just your top. You can leave on your jeans. Adam's underoos are not going to show. I carried my phone in there. I was actually sitting on the operating table with my phone. I almost wanted to live tweet it.
Sure, but I'll play some Angry Birds.
Knock down those ice castles, Jared.
Are we at a point yet where we can pick a new, kind of iconic phone game besides Angry Birds?
I don't think
anything? So. Angry Birds is still the one. Huh?
It's got to be Angry Birds.
Okay.
They have Angry Birds on the Roku, previously mentioned, so it's got to still be that.
So you go into the operating room, if you even want to call it operating room. Yeah. They've already got your IV in, which, by the way, didn't do a great
job. OR. I call it the OR.
It stung. And the doctor's off doing other things. So I'm just talking to this pretty nurse. She's like, okay, you got to lay off to your side. And then once again, and I don't know why you lay to your side. Maybe it's just easier access for this tube.
Probably.
But you lay down and you're looking to your side and you see the apparatus that is actually going to go inside of you. And I mean, I don't think it was this big, but it seemed like garden hose big to me. I mean, it just seemed like you're thinking like fiber optic, tiny, you know, like huge, the size of a guitar string.
Right, huge black dick.
And it looked like a microphone stand.
Yes.
And I was freaking out. And then they've got this giant TV there. And she says to me, oh, if you want to watch it, you want to watch it while it's happening, that's great. And, and I said to her, there is no way I want to see a tube go down my throat. I'd be freaking out.
The thing you see it has no representation in you know what is happening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was like, I'm closing my eyes, and she goes, don't worry, the doctor will stand in front of it anyway. And it took him like 15 minutes to get in there. So we had that because he was doing another procedure.
To get into your room.
And
we might have been in there at the exact same time.
We could have.
I think
well.
I ran a little long. So I apologize for your wait.
So she's like not really sure what to, I mean, you've gone through all the small talk, you know, how's your summer going? And she's sort of walking between me and the door, just trying to find other people to talk to. I was nervous. I didn't want to talk to her. And she was too cute, so what do you say? You know, hey, you're the kind of girl that would give me any attention in high school.
Right.
You're beautiful, you know, that sort of thing.
You're acting like your pickup lines have gotten much better in the intervening years.
It just hasn't, Jared. It hasn't increased. I'm a little bit out of touch. So 15 minutes passes, and it's fine because we're early. Doctor comes in. He's just boop, 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 you know, very, very, he's done this a million times. And I asked him, I think he does like 16 a day. I mean, they are
so
just
all business-like.
So, yeah, the procedure's 5-10 minutes unless they find a golf ball in your throat, then they knock you out permanently. I don't know what happens.
Right. Did they take a mulligan or they shoot from the rough?
I don't know. Sand trap all the way.
I'm going for the golf ball thing still.
We don't have a big golfing community listening to the scope, I don't think, unless things have changed. At any rate, so at this point he comes in, we're going to do this 5 minutes, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. He's, you know, almost got the camera in my throat. Not really, but the sedatist, I don't really know who.
Anesthesiologist?
Do they have an anesthesiologist? Is that because they're not really knocking you out?
Oh, you're right. It wasn't. Yeah, they're just. It's just the nurse and the dude, the doctor. Okay.
They come in.
We're getting some golfing affirmation in the chat room.
Good. Fair to know.
We're good to go there.
And so they stick the.
Medical job.
You can
please
watch my new show, Golfing Affirmation, on the Golf Network.
They need all the programming they can get. So they stick a needle in my IV.
Yep.
It's the knockout drug or the relaxation drug. The guy starts talking to me. Literally, my world starts getting fuzzy, and this is how I explain it. My legs started to feel like they were blue. That's how I felt. And then I opened my eyes, and I see the doctor walking in to talk to me after it was over.
You're like, all
that
done.
Was it. That was it. He was like, didn't find anything. We took a sample just in case there could be precancer. See you later. Gone. That was it.
I'm on to my next one.
Okay.
It might be 2 weeks.
Now, I'm sticking my hand up someone's butt in the next room. So
the same thing happened to me. And after the fact, I was like, wait, did he really tell me that? Or did I imagine
that's how I was feeling.
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, like you come out of it and...
Did he give you like a surveillance video that proves what happened?
I know, it was...
Like this isn't Total Recall. This actually happened.
I wish
there
was a video.
Very dreamy.
Okay.
And you can't... Take that needle off before it takes effect. You can't eat like 12 hours before. So right. I'm dreamy. I'm starving to death.
You're dreaming of chocolate and Arby's.
Yeah. So I'm getting dressed. And they said, you know, your results will come back in 2 weeks, which I have an update on the results.
All right.
I'm dying.
Slowly, though. It's going to take about 50 more years.
I figure we'll get five more years of the scope in, and you can just follow my progression into hell.
I'll be on, like, three of those episodes.
Yeah, you will be. It'll be good. Years. So I remember, just like Adam, like, it was real, but it wasn't. And I remember saying to Carrie, I'm starving to death. We need to eat. And then... I said, Zantigos! We're going to Zantigos!
Wow.
You know, like, the worst thing you could have for heartburn. You know,
what are you
going
to...
Let's go for some semi-spicy Mexican Minnesota fast food.
What do you like at Zantigo?
I got the manager special.
Which is what?
It's a taco burrito.
A little chili on the side?
A mild chilito and chips and cheese. But the chips and cheese is extra. You got to buy that.
Yes, it is.
And I was of right enough mind to order my taco burrito without onion. Huh. But I barely remember doing it. I barely remember eating. Then after that, we had to go pick up my daughter.
I presume you're driving the whole way, right?
Of course I'm driving.
Yes,
I barely remember.
I'm mad when let a woman drive after this.
I barely remember picking her up. Like, I went in there, I was talking to people. Did it all. I was normal Shane. People never said to me, boy, you're a little funky, little fuzzy.
You might have been funnier because your inhibitions were gone.
I doubt it. It's very,
always
very,
a little...
very difficult to top this.
Did you take your wife on a Zantigo table right there in front of everyone?
Maybe. I think I just stripped down and was rolling around in the guac sauce.
Guac sauce.
I think that it's not guac.
It's a
guac sauce.
They save money. They cut it with something.
Yeah.
And I went home. I laid down on the bed. I slept for about 2 hours, and I woke up, and it was like I was refreshed and ready to go.
Yep. So my experience was very similar to yours, except... So I assume that Carrie was your person to drive you and
yes.
stuff. They do not let you drive home.
No.
And it is
why
really,
would they?
Yeah, it's really... I was like, it's not the biggie, though. First of all, I have a really bad gag reflex.
Okay.
Reflex. So I remember...
Reflex, yes.
Yeah.
Acid reflux, gag reflex.
So I remember the entire tube going down my mouth.
Oh, really?
Adam cannot take a big dong.
Right. And I watched...
Doctor, why are your pants off?
I watched the video.
Take a gag
like,
reflex.
I was like, it kind of helped. But kind of similar to when you're really drunk or if you're stoned, time doesn't go in the correct time frame. Like, what was...
In the correct order?
No, like, what was a minute, like, might have felt like 5 seconds, or it might have... And then parts of it might have felt like 5 minutes. It was... I couldn't really
I think,
tell.
Like, when you fall asleep...
Yeah.
It seems instantaneous. When you wake up, it feels like it was, like, both an hour...
Right.
And 5 minutes.
Right. I mean, yeah. Okay. But I remember, like, and thinking back about it now, I don't remember it,
yeah.
But I was conscious during it.
It feels like an alien abduction. Like, that's how it would be, you know?
Well, I don't know. I've never been abducted.
Oh, no, trust me. It's
okay.
It's very similar.
So, and they were like, they had to, like, hold me down. And
really?
I told them ahead of time, like, I have a bad gag reflex. Just do it. I was like, just whatever.
This is very Nike. She's the whole Nike endoscopy.
I was like, I'll be fine, you know. And so they're like, yeah, they had to hold me. Like, keep breathing through your nose, and I did. And like, as soon as they were done, I was just like, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry.
Just like every drunken escapade of Adam,
right? So that's kind of the last thing I really remember.
Yeah, wow, I'm surprised.
Then Mandy came in, and they kind of like let you sit for like 15 minutes, to kind of get your bearings, and they make sure you're okay before you
leave.
They
want you out of there, though. They don't want you sticking around.
I told her...
There's 15 more to go. Come on.
She says, 5 times I told her, they let me keep my shorts on. And I kept... I remember telling her...
This is absolutely not gay.
I remember telling her, but then each time I would be like, oh, I didn't tell her the best part. And then I would tell her again. And I don't know why. I felt compelled to let her know I got to keep my shorts on. Yeah. And
very informal.
I don't know if you guys have watched South Park or watched this most recent season.
What is this South Park you're talking about?
But there was an episode called Faith Hilling, where the boys were making fun of internet memes, and one of them was Faith Hilling, where you kind of you make boobs in your shirt.
Okay.
Because Faith Hill's nipples are always popping out.
I did not know that.
I don't know what it's from. So I proceeded to Faith Hill in front of her. I don't remember it for like a minute. And I kept saying,
wow.
And this is while I still had the gown on. And so she said, or I'd say to her, what am I doing? What am I doing? And she'd look there and I'd be like, I'm Faith Hilling. And she was like, you yelled at me.
Wow, you really are. Wow. You must be a hit at parties.
So yeah, I don't remember doing that.
Yeah.
But I don't think she would make that up. It's too funny. And there were other things, like on the car ride home. I think I told her a couple more times on the car ride home I got to keep my pants on, mm-hmm. or my shorts on.
Did you stop and get something to eat on the way home?
No, she dropped me off.
And she wanted nothing to do with her Faith Hilling.
Well, she had to go to work. And we had plenty of food at home. But I sat there at home for a good, I don't know, half an hour. And I was like, all right, I'm good to go. I'm going to go to...
some hipster bar, probably.
No. What's that place with the hand-breaded chicken tenders? Hardee's. I went to Hardee's.
Where do you have a Hardee's near you?
The one that's on 94. The one in St. Paul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. By the Snelling, one. Right?
Yeah. I went there. So I probably should have...
Did you walk there?
No, I drove.
What?
Yeah. It was probably...
You're not supposed to drive for, I think, 24 hours.
Oh, well.
Or maybe
it's not for your 24. Rules. It can't be 24.
It's maybe 12.
But it's probably, you know, a significant amount of time. That was fine.
Yeah, I have, when I think back on it, I feel like I might remember them sticking the tube down my throat, but I honestly don't know if I remember it or if it's something I've concocted.
That shit was good. That was good.
It was
again,
just...
It's not like anything else.
I mean, it was almost instantaneous. Talking, and then, who knows, we could have been talking normally after you kind of forget what's going on. I don't know. It just was boom, blue legs. Mm-hmm. Good night. Good night, Charlie.
Taste the rainbow.
Taste the rainbow. Skittles. So there you go.
I have nothing to contribute other than stupid jokes. So.
My test results came back on the, I think it's called Barrett's esophagus, which is if you have reflux, you can get precancerous cells that will pop up into your throat. My results came back normal. So
yay!
So it continues. I don't know what they're going to do. There are other tests that are worse, Adam.
Yes, I know.
Where they?
It's going in the other hole.
Oh, next. They're
going
to look. Oh, because it's your stomach issues.
Yeah.
For me, they could do something where they stick a wire up, a wire and a sensor up through your nose, down into your throat, and then you have to sip water, and then they do measurements, which I hear is very uncomfortable. And there's another one where you have to drink like a barium mixture,
mm-hmm.
and then they might even
they watch it.
They
as
might
it
even
goes.
Hang you upside down and then watch it go through your system.
And then they test you for superpowers.
Yes.
Well, you're going to have them afterwards.
Well, sure.
Guaranteed.
Of course.
Obviously.
Yep. So we'll see how that goes. But so far, so good.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
Hey, it's great fodder for this show, I guess.
Yeah, I love the fact that you and I are...
None of that was true. I just... Yeah.
I could have gone on a 20-minute break and just let you guys talk.
You could have.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, guys. That's our endoscopy talk for the day. Dr. Oz will be in later to... show us what a healthy colon looks like.
Right, he has a 200 times life size colon to show us.
That is amazing stuff.
It's disgusting.
It's just like Double Dare. It's filled with peanut butter, and you have to get the flag inside of it.
What?
Don't you remember in Double Dare how they had like the head?
Yeah,
and you went in through the ear, and you had to.
It's like obstacle number two is the Sunday slide. You come up the slide, you slide down the slide. Grab the flag, pass it on. This is what you get.
Again, best Mark Summers impersonator I've ever met.
Well, we got to have a role here, but I do know the cadence.
Yes,
I do know the cadence.
That's the important
of Mark Summers.
Part.
Anyway, so what do we got going on in episode 126, Jared? We've got a bit that I rediscovered after going through and cataloging every single bit we've done for the show.
We haven't done this one in ages.
Little thing called Scope Discoveries. So it's essentially. What cool things are...
On the Discovery Channel.
On Discovery Health.
Specifically.
Yeah.
We've also got...
Endoscopies, it turns out.
I guess we're done.
We blew the scope. We also will be reviewing movies. One animated, one with a computer animated character. I'm talking about Brave. I'm going to take that one on. And the three of us just got back from seeing Seth MacFarlane's Ted.
I'm sure you're not having an endoscopy right now.
I feel like it. I'm so excited talking about that event that it just brings back all the memories. It's good stuff. We've got Under the Scope as well, so that's news and coming soon. It's a power-packed show,
all right.
And we're going to go on for 2 hours.
Great.
So let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
You've got questions. Tony's got answers. It's time for Ask Tony.
Dear Tony, what's your opinion on the new live-action Transformers movie? You know, that festering piece of robocrap directed by that hack Michael Bay? I know it's going to be the worst movie since Aaron Brockovich. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Tim Burton sucks. Signed, Mad as Hell in Minneapolis.
Dear Mahim, I need to level with you, my friend. Movies about electricity, live action, or otherwise, don't really excite a jet-setting playboy like myself. What does excite me is a sexy, promiscuous female lawyer dressed in tight scoop-neck tops, battling corrupt businessmen determined to poison the very earth we inhabit. Ms. Brockovich, you can call me to the judge's chambers anytime you want. Talk about a sidebar. Anyway, thanks for writing, little man. Stay angry. We wouldn't want you any other way. Keep tuning in to the Scope. If you would like me, Tony Partington, to impose my advice on you and set you on a path to glory, send your tales of woe and misery to AskTony@thescopeshow.com. I promise not to be too destructive, but let's face it, the truth hurts. And it hurts some of you more than others. Now, back to the Scope.
Jared, Adam, and Shane scour the ends of the pop culture universe to bring you the Scope Discoveries. Find out what you're missing.
Well, we got to use that more often. We got to have Scope Discoveries about once every four shows.
I forgot we had it.
Doesn't that beat?
We haven't done this since like episode 22.
Episode 22.
Yeah. I wonder what we use or what you know we discovered.
It's on the internet. We talked a lot about movies and TV shows and music.
Which might actually...
Doesn't sound like the show at all.
I know.
It's not going to be politics and medical procedures and...
and golf.
Strange Mexican golf condiments.
Yes. The quark sauce.
Okay. So today, Jared, Adam, and myself will be talking about things that we're digging. Scope Discoveries, guys. It's going to be enlightening. Indeed.
I suppose.
So, Jared, I'm going to let you start this off just because Adam and I really have monopolized the show thus far.
Okay, that's fair.
So why don't you tell us about your Scope Discovery?
It's a recent thing. It's a recent thing for me. It's been around for a little bit. Okay. And I had a hard time coming up with something because I've been my work schedule's been real busy. And
hey, it's not like the Sudan, so says
my
Shane.
Home life has been busy, and I haven't really been into any like new TV shows that aren't really, you know, popular with everyone and stuff like that. So, but I finally landed on something that has really been my go-to thing to listen to when I'm mowing the lawn or, you know, commuting to and from work. And it's a podcast called Hardcore History by a gentleman named Dan Carlin. I'm going to read to you his little subscription or a little description from his RSS feed because his website isn't that great and doesn't have that much in the way of introductory text. So here we go.
Do your best.
In Hardcore History, the very unconventional Dan Carlin takes his Martian outside-the-box way of thinking and applies it to the past. Was Alexander the Great as bad a person as Adolf Hitler? What would Apaches with modern weapons be like? Will our modern civilization ever fall like civilizations from past eras? This is a difficult-to-classify show that has a rather sharp edge. It's not for everyone. But with the innovative style and approach has made Dan Carlin's Hardcore History a media hit. I'm not sure what he's quoting, but that's what... So basically...
he claims it's a media hit.
And I don't know if he quoted it from something else or not. But basically, the show is a history podcast, right? And if you're not into history, you're probably not going to like the show. But if you're into history, and specifically if you're into military history, you're really going to probably like the show. I mean, he covers, you know, the great wars of our century, of the past century. He covers a lot of the Roman Empire stuff, both before and after it was a Roman Empire. He's currently going through, I think it's called the Wrath of the Khans. He's talking about the Mongols and how they build the empire, you know, Genghis Khan and all that stuff. And he just has an interesting approach, and he really tries to, you know, he's a fan of history. He's not a historian, but I mean, these things are pretty involved. These things can get to be as long as audiobooks. Recently, there was one called the Fall of the Roman Republic. And I think it was four parts, and the first three parts were about an hour to an hour and a half each. And the fourth one, he's just like, okay, we got to get through this, and it was like 4 hours.
So his show is one-fifth as long as ours.
Yes. And these come out fairly infrequently, because there's a lot of production and research involved. So it's not like, you know, you're committing to 3 hours of programming every week. It's, I don't even know, because I got in just in the last month or two, and I kind of went through the back catalog of what was available free on the RSS feed. And so I have no idea what the actual release frequency is, but I know it's been a couple weeks since the last episode came out, so I know it's going to take a while.
Does he do things like if the dinosaurs fought the Romans, stuff like that? Like the dinosaurs lived, alternate history.
He doesn't get into alternate history or speculative stuff too much. But what he really tries to do is get into kind of like what the human experience is of people going through these key events, like the series I just finished up was a three-part series he called Punic Nightmares, and was dealing with the Punic Wars, a series of wars with Carthage that basically brought the Roman Empire to become an empire. Before then, they were just kind of a regional power. But he kind of goes through, you know, what was it like to be a soldier in these armies where, you know, 99% of the time, you're not worried about dying from anything other than normal, everyday things that might kill you. But for that 1% of the time, on the day of the battle, where you have hours to sit there and think about what you're being asked to do and what's going to happen around you, I mean, you're basically being asked to be a serial killer and a mass murderer.
Sure.
So, it's sort of very different than how soldiers are today, where there's always a low level of danger where they could be injured or killed at any time, but when they do go into battle, it's usually at the end of a rifle. You know, there's a distance. So
sure.
He tries to get into that, and he tries to do
less,
you know,
personalized killing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so he tries to, you know, cover the human condition, what it was like to be a person who was in a city that got sacked by another army, and the terrible things that happened. You know, it's a very downer thing, but it's also, you know, this is what happened. So. I have a couple clips. The first one is the introduction from the most recent episode, The Wrath of the Khans, Part 1. And I will just play
and
that.
And it's 1 hour long. Go ahead.
No. This is like a minute. So here we go.
I have a book idea for those of you out there who are desperately searching for a winning book idea. Maybe you're an author or a historian or just somebody looking for, you know, a niche that you can exploit. I've got your book idea right here. And I don't want to say that I'm promising you you're going to make a lot of money with this idea. I am guaranteeing you you will get attention. The reason I'm giving this idea to you is because it's worthless to me. I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. Makes me a little sick just thinking about it, but there are people out there who have stronger stomachs than I have. If you're one of them, here's your idea. Go write a book about this little explored angle of the famous World War II story. Go write a book about the long-term positive effects, you know, things that made our modern world better today, of Nazi Germany.
Wow.
You know, the upside of the Third Reich, I guess you could say. You know, the things that we have today that make our life better that never would have happened if there had never been an Adolf Hitler, right? Go write that book.
There you go.
Schnitzel.
So he's sort of doing that as a preface to the story of the Mongols and the terrible destruction and killing that they're going to unleash in the region and across a large part of the ancient world. Or not even ancient, I guess. I forget the period it takes place in. But it's sort of like, you know, you have to he looks at it like, you know, how would things be different if these events hadn't taken place, you know, and stuff like that. And what he goes into a little bit more after this, how he did a whole piece on Mongol military tactics in college, and his professor gave him a poorer grade than he was expecting. And the reason he gave him that grade is because, like, you can't just talk about the military tactics and divorce them from the impact they had on the people that they were used on.
Hmm.
So, you know, that sort of informed his philosophy on dealing with history. And it's like, you can't just look at one part of it. You kind of have to look at how everyone was affected around it and how, you know, maybe there was some of the good that came out of it because of, you know, yes, lots of millions of people may have died, but in the end, we had this.
Sure.
Yeah. Or something.
We wouldn't have gotten to the moon when we did without, you know, stealing Nazi technology.
I think, obviously, what's coming out of Jared is he's very pro-Nazi.
Well, or at least
a statement.
He's apologist.
I'm not an apologist. Okay, yeah. Apologist. He's not pro.
So I have one more clip.
Holocaust denier, Jared.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
He's in it.
Pretty much.
That's going to be the name of the show, by the way, Jared. I hope you don't mind.
I have powers of editorial powers, so I can make that go away.
Not if we make you go away first.
Wow. So what if it said Holocaust a in Nair?
If I do it in pig Latin.
Well, no one will decode that. I'm pretty confident that if you do that, we're safe.
I'll have to have Adam spell that out.
So I have one more clip from the current episode and actually talking about Genghis Khan's rise to power.
Jenga Khan?
Genghis
Khan. It's not pronounced Genghis.
Apparently it's not Genghis Khan, it's Genghis Khan.
Genghis.
And this
quick
is...
Jenga joke.
it all fell apart once he got to the 14th level.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. This
nice, Adam.
In this clip, Dan Karin's talking about Genghis Khan being anointed, basically the ruler of all of the people of the steppes. And it goes like this.
One of the seminal moments in Genghis Khan's life occurs at a Mongol assembly known as a Kurultai. It happens on the bank of a river, but it's a giant affair with huge tents and people coming from all over, mostly Mongols, to proclaim Genghis Khan the ruler of all who dwell in felt tents, is the way it was put.
Tell me.
Meaning all these pastoral nomads who exist on the steppe. Now forget for a moment that there are tons of tribes to the west that have no idea of the existence of the Mongols, who have direct contact with places like Russia, and who have no idea that this assembly is going on, have never heard of Genghis Khan or anything. They are, without knowing it, now subject to his dominion. And when his representatives eventually find them and point out that they are, their choices are to submit or die.
There you go. John Norton in the chat room has chimed in with a little joke. It says, what did everyone play at the Chinese barbecue?
What did everyone play at the Chinese barbecue?
Yeah.
Chinese checkers?
Genghis Khan. Where is it? Oh, Norton, we love you anyway. There you go. That is my scope discovery.
I like that. Is that on the History Channel?
No, it is a podcast. Go to dancarlin.com.
He also does other podcasts,
too. He has
too,
another one called like Common Sense or something like that. I don't listen to that.
Yeah, it's more politically motivated.
Yeah, okay. He's not the one that does everything your history teacher didn't teach you or whatever.
I don't really know that much about him. He could be.
But that sounds really interesting.
His podcasting voice is a bit of a young Andy Rooney.
A little bit,
if
yeah.
He complains about
certain cadence,
people not wearing ties.
Is there.
Oh, okay.
And it's very dynamic in volume. When when things get really exciting, he gets louder, and then when he's reading quotes, he gets louder. I've noticed in some of the older ones that they actually add like an echo effect with quote reading.
Ooh.
They don't quite do that in the new
stuff. It doesn't quite get so fancy.
I've liked the show enough that when I ran out of free episodes, I've actually gone back and purchased some of the back episodes.
And how much do those cost?
$10? There was a four-part... No, not even that much. There was a four-part series on World War II, the Germans and Russian battle on the Western Front called Ghosts of the Ostfront, which was like $5 for four or five hours of material. So that was really good. I just bought the Punic Wars thing for like $3. So back episodes, reasonably cheap. And, you know, like I said, I enjoy listening to them while I mow the lawn.
Very nice.
So there. Transport it to another world.
Very nice indeed. I will, I'll jump into my scope discovery, and I'm changing it up. I was going to do a musical one, but I'm going to do something inspired by Jared.
Mm-hmm.
It's the new biography about Newt Gingrich.
Wow.
That's all I got. Sorry. I'm just trying. I'm thinking, okay, what else can we do? Adam, you have to have a reference. Think about it.
After you just did that, I'm not going anywhere
near. You don't
need it.
To?
No.
All right. Wish that endoscopy would have come out differently. I am doing an album, guys. It's an album called Tiger Talk by a band called Yukon Blonde. They've been getting a lot of play here on The Current. It's their second-length album from... it's a Canadian indie act. There's not really a lot about them, so I can't really give you the whole Wikipedia. It's one of those bands that has, like, five sentences.
I suppose Yukon, Canadian. Yeah, that makes sense.
They've been kicking it since 2006, Jared.
Kicking it, huh?
Originally called Alpha Baby. That was their original band name, but they changed it to Yukon Blonde in 2008. Most of their accolades have come from the Canadian press.
Completely
owned by Alanis Morissette, by the way. She's like the Rupert Murdoch of the Canadian press world. They were named one of the 10 Canadian bands to break in 2010. I don't know if they have broken, but...
You know about them.
I know about them. So let's listen to the first track off of Tiger Talk. It's called My Girl. So, Jared, please play that clip. Sometimes I think there's no distance in between our conversations, baby, and the dreams. I buy you a house sale, I buy you a car. When I make you rich, so selling a song. When I make you rich, babe, I make you rich, then you be my girl. You be my If you know anything about me, you can probably understand why I would like that.
Is there Anna Chomsky in that band?
I don't know.
Anna Chomsky?
Chomsky? from My Girl? And now in Veep?
Veep? I don't think she is in that. But she, I think she is an ambassador. All right, yeah, she's an ambassador. Right. So I don't know if you were here for this, Adam, but a while back, a few shows ago, Jared played an entire song by Yukon Blonde called Stairway. And he played it all. So we're not going to play that song. That's
the
song.
Whole thing.
Hmm?
All of it.
The whole thing.
I did.
That's the song that's been getting the most play around here.
Okay.
But we will go to another song called Breathing Tigers. It's a track a bit
they
later.
They like tigers.
I know. It's a track a bit later in the album. Jared, okay. Play it if you will. So there you go. Why do I like this album? Obviously, I'm the big indie pop guy, so you've got all that going for it. Seems like a fun summer album that, for some reason, they sort of strike me as like an indie Southern California kind of band, you know, something you'd listen to on the beach. And you know me, I'm a big beach guy.
California bands from Canada.
Yeah, it's very strange how that works. But nonetheless, that's what it reminds me of, Jared. I didn't know they were from Canada until I started doing all that crack research, you know?
that's all we can ask for.
I was all over the place on the internet. You know, this album is available. I think it's one of those you can get at a fairly decent price. And it's also available on Spotify, which I've been listening to a lot lately. So making a lot of musical discoveries through a combination of Spotify and my Rolling Stone magazines and Metacritic. So it's been a good time. Yukon Blonde, Tiger Talk, check it out. Over to you, Adam.
Thanks.
Jadam.
All right.
It's actually pronounced Jadam.
It's like Jenga, but yeah.
Come on, get some energy.
Hey, just get ready. I'm bringing it home.
He's bringing it.
So similar to Jared, I'm picking a podcast well. I know.
You put more time into picking other podcasts than ours. It's
podcasts
sickening.
are the new hip thing, Hank. That's what you heard?
Well, we've only been in the game for like 6 years.
I know.
So when I listen to podcasts, I don't know if you guys do this. I listen at double speed, yeah. Which you can do through various iPhone apps.
Have you played with the new podcast app?
I have, but okay. Mine, the one I use, which is called Downcast, is better. And no one sounds like chipmunks. The digital audio converter or DAC,
yeah,
in the iPhone.
Very technical.
QuickTime's the same way. You can play fast forward and it just speeds it up.
Yes,
it doesn't change the pitch.
Yeah, it does something. It like normalizes the pitch as you're listening to it. So people do talk faster, but they don't sound like chipmunks. Anyway, I like to mention that because you can do that with the default music app on an iPhone and in the new podcast app on the iPhone. So give it a try, because it's way easier to consume podcast content when you only need to spend
it
half
cuts
the
our
time
shows doing. Down to 3 hours apiece. So that's really what we're looking for, yes. Jared.
So what? The show I'm picking is actually a really popular podcast, but most people still don't know about podcasts in general. So I always try to...
Very typical of you, by the way, to pick the most mainstream thing you possibly can find.
All right. Well, I also picked this because it now also has an IFC show to go along with it.
Mm.
So I picked Comedy Bang Bang, formerly called Comedy Death Ray. It's a mostly weekly podcast hosted by Scott Aukerman, who...
He's been on just about every podcast in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Promoting the TV the show. Yeah. Yep.
Does he host that other show on the IFC, that game show they've been...
The one that's on after it, no.
Okay, I like that guy, by the way.
Scott Aukerman was a writer and a sometime performer on Mr. Show. The old HBO sketch comedy show. He also founded a show at the UCB Theater in Hollywood, also called Comedy Death Ray. The show is kind of interesting. It's kind of an interview format show initially, but then other comedians will come on playing characters that they are not really, and that's some of the clips we'll hear. There's also a lot of games that they play during it. My favorite is Would You Rather. We kind of played this a couple weeks ago.
We invented this game, essentially.
Essentially, yeah. We did. They also play Jukebox Jury, in which Scott and the guest rate songs that are sent in by listeners as either mustard or pants. Those are the two ratings. Mustard or pants.
Hmm.
And Alive or Dead, in which Scott gives the names of a celebrity and the guests must determine if that celebrity is alive or dead. The people in question are always alive, but their fictional deaths are described in a humorous way. Humorous.
Well, there goes another Scope show. We were just going to play it straight.
Scott Aukerman and Reggie Watts host the new IFC show that we've been mentioning here. So I pulled three clips. Two of them are from what's probably my favorite episode of all time. It was just a few months ago. Scott Aukerman and guests Greg Proops, Ice-T, and Jesse Ventura. In this clip, they discuss how Jesse, the governor, and Ice-T made it up to the studio.
So you guys drove up together. Whose vehicle?
We rented a shuttle.
What?
We rented a space shuttle.
You rented the space shuttle to come all the
way? We taxied the space shuttle all the way
all
here.
The way from Mexico.
Because it's been grounded, but that's better right. than mothballing it, you may as well use it for on the
That must have been
trans.
Quite a conversation piece of stoplights and whatnot.
Yeah, does that take up the entire, you know, four-lane highway?
It is a wide load.
People are angry about it.
But they're building the NAFTA Superhighway, and we proved it because we drove on it.
Okay.
God, why can't our show be this funny?
Smooth?
Smooth as silk.
How belted in are you?
You're pretty heavily belted in. There's a few layers of safety precautions.
What about, is there like a oven, microwave oven and whatnot? And...
Yeah, they got everything.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have to go to the bathroom in your suit, though?
You don't have to, but it helps. We made good time coming up here. All our food came out of pouches.
Who was the other guy supposed to be? Who was that?
Ice-T.
Ice-T, okay.
Yeah. Well, you'll know better in this next clip, actually, because in this, Scott grills Ice-T about the role he's most famous for, other than being a rapper, playing Detective Finn Tutuola on Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
Ice-T, what is happening with you? What is going on? You asked if you could come all the way out here from Mexico.
I'm trying to rebrand myself, because I've been doing... SVU for a long time now.
That's Law & Order SVU. It's a show that you've been on. That basically
Special Victims Unit.
Basically, it's a police force that has a strange combination of old character actors and hot models are on this force. Hot female models.
That's not the premise of the show.
Hot female models.
You're conflating the
older
actors who play the characters with the premise of the show.
It's hot. It's just the hottest girls you would ever see with incredible makeup and long hair.
That's right.
And then the oldest, grossest character actors.
Yeah, and me.
And you.
What distinguishes the victims that makes them so special?
Most of them have perfect attendance.
Wow. And that's what the kind of thing you don't hear.
One was wearing a tiara.
They're punctual.
They're very punctual, polite. You'll always get a thank you note.
All right. The last clip is from
not the best iced tea, by the way.
No.
I thought it's still funny. I think in that episode, it's actually a pretty decent iced tea.
The body is
talks about cocoa a whole bunch.
Okay.
The last clip is from a different episode. This is another great episode. This one has Alison Brie and Jason Mantzoukas. If you watch The League, you'd know who Jason Mantzoukas is. And Alison Brie is, of course, my other celebrity girlfriend.
You've got so many of them.
Yeah. In this, they're playing the
previously mentioned... Who's his first celebrity girlfriend, Jared?
Damn it. Emma Stone.
Yeah, sure.
In this, they're playing... Would You Rather.
I was hoping you'd say someone repulsive.
They're playing the previously mentioned Would You Rather game. And here are the two scenarios, just to get you up to date. Would you rather have a giant pickle for each of your legs? Or would you rather have your worst enemy be your best friend? The key to Would You Rather is asking questions to learn all the facts. And one important fact really helps Alison Brie pick the scenario that she'd prefer.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
People
got it.
Loved pickles until the apocalypse.
Oh, pickle-pocalypse?
Pickle...
A in a world without pickles.
The apocalypse.
The apocalypse happened.
Okay, I like that. I like
and people no longer have pickles or lips.
Now
Wait,
we're getting somewhere.
Did you say nobody has?
Yeah, the apocalypse happened.
So there are no lips. So I have a question.
Yes?
How do people kiss?
They don't. You will never kiss again.
I now know my choice.
They bash teeth against each other.
Wait, in the scenario where your worst enemy has to become your best friend, do people have lips?
People have lips, and they use them.
For what? Because that could be a trick question.
Mainly eating pussy.
Well, I have my answer. I've got my answer.
Mainly eating pussy?
Yeah. I'm ready to weigh in.
All right. There you go.
She's in. The facts are in.
Alison Brie loves...
Facts are in.
Pickle legs.
Loves getting pussy eaten.
I thought you were going to come up with something
Me too.
Less
Me too.
Harsh.
So that's Comedy Bang Bang.
And you love it.
It is my, as soon as there's a new episode, I pause all other podcasts.
Wow. And that's what you sound like.
Yes. And I listen.
The crowd loves
it. I listen to that. It's the best show.
Well, congratulations. Two podcasts, one album covered in Scope Discoveries today.
Yeah.
Unusual.
It is. What is usual?
I don't know. We don't have usual since episode 22 when it comes to Scope Discoveries. We're just 126, Jared.
126.
That's over 100 episodes we've waited to do that.
104 episodes. Yeah.
I think in our first Scope Discoveries, we were covering the first season of Lost.
I doubt it.
Season finale of Buffy.
Right.
And
this new show called Aftermash.
Aftermash. Thank you for bringing it to the Aftermash comedy. Yeah. I was hoping someone would go there, and you did.
Yes. I've always got an Aftermash joke in my back
there.
Pocket.
It's always
just
got
waiting.
Start.
Just waiting.
So,
did you know that Aftermash is also a play on Aftermath?
Ah.
Which is a show about the period after you go to math class.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
I did not know that.
Which is based on Degrassi High.
Right.
All goes back
Very
to Degrassi.
Very strange. Based on the future.
Canadian. Also Degrassi. Completely written by Alanis Morissette. All music done by Yukon Blonde.
Interesting.
Been done for years.
Interesting.
I think I really need to get my Mark Summers imitation down. I mean, if that guy congested the body, I have got to be... You've got to be able to interview Mark Summers at this table.
I think it would be nice.
I'll talk you all through the Double Dare obstacle course.
I would love
All seven obstacles.
I would love that.
The nose picker, the car washer they go through, you know that one.
The Sunday slide.
Sunday slide is key.
It got people... You have to get your
Cannot
legs,
get
your
soles of your shoes full of gunk. If you did, Jared, you weren't... you couldn't pull yourself up.
Right.
You did not. Kids, those
It also
kids,
ruins those. You for the next event that you have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know the one where they have to, they had like the giant pancakes and they had those pads of butter off of the flags often hidden in the pads of butter.
But usually they would just throw the pad of butter.
Yeah, and off goes the flag. Jared jealous because he did not have cable to watch Double Dare.
Thank you for pointing out my poverty. Thank you. Appreciate that.
To be fair, I did not have cable all the time. We were sort of... It was whenever my father decided to climb up the pole and unscrew the
nice.
The filter. And, Dad, you're going to jail. And we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Scope right after this.
We now return to the Scope. Just for the hell of it.
Under the Scope.
And we're back.
And we're back. Giant break. Jared and...
we may have to retire that.
Jared, Adam, and I, we actually took a hiatus for about 3 hours. Get refreshed, get our batteries recharged.
Did you notice the glitch in the Matrix, folks, watching live? Hmm? Did you? No. Probably not.
No glitches here.
No.
We've got something that we like to do every show when Adam's here.
What's that?
It's called the news. Oh.
I got the order wrong again.
The news. This is much like Newsroom. I just watched Newsroom.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I loved it.
Did you? Man, review is very mixed, either loving or hating.
If you know what to expect with Sorkin, which most people do, that's what you're going to get. Yeah. I thought it was really good.
People seem to like the second half once things actually start rolling, yes. Not the first half.
Well, what they did on that show is they literally created an entire newscast on the fly dealing with the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
Exxon Valdez, yeah.
Exactly. You're right on. So again. I expect you to do that. I want you to throw all the news stories you've gathered and just off the top of your head, 3 news stories. Go.
All right.
He's doing it.
We like to do.
He's doing it.
We like to talk
he's
about political it. Stuff on the show.
We've been known to tread in those waters.
So earlier this week, a story came out about the Texas GOP's, the Republican Party's platform for 2012. These aren't laws
built
these
on are, the skulls of immigrants.
Probably.
Illegal.
That's what they're going to build the wall out of. I don't know if you knew that.
That's going to really intimidate people.
I think that's the point.
But they'll put cowboy hats on them, so it'll be good. on the top row of skulls.
Big cowboy hats.
Very big.
So, again, these are not laws, but these are, you know, kind of the, points that they'd
talking
like to
points,
emphasize.
Mandates?
Sure. Talking points. Let's go with that.
They're planks in the platform.
Planks in the platform.
That, in fact, it says the plank in question. On my line right here.
Jared, why are you not doing a political podcast? You seem to know all the terminology.
I just know a couple buzzwords.
That's our new podcast, The Scoop,
we're going back to the scoop idea. We've talked about it for years, but never
Well, it was an ice cream podcast for a while, I'll remind you.
And we ran out of flavors and had to abandon it.
Fucking Ben and Jerry.
Yeah.
Fucking Baskin Robbins. That's what I meant to say is Baskin Robbins, because they only have 31. Anyway.
Boy, Adam is really flip-flopping.
So anyway, the plank in question is knowledge-based education, which reads as follows.
Please.
We oppose the teaching of higher-order thinking skills, critical thinking skills, and similar programs that are simply a relabeling of outcome-based education.
Jared's playing a really bad game of Operation right now.
This is my favorite part. Which focuses on behavior modification and have the purpose of challenging the student's fixed beliefs and undermining parental authority. So again, the Texas GOP party, or I guess the Texas GOP, the P in GOP stands for party, opposes the teaching that has the purpose of challenging a student's fixed beliefs and undermines parental authority. So kind of the point of learning.
Right.
You know, to learn new things.
And to think for yourself. They don't want that.
What kind of kids would they be churning out then?
White kids?
White kids.
Right? That's what you're asking?
Yeah, I'm just wondering what type of human being would be.
Don't question anything.
Whatever their parents tell them.
Or whatever anyone in authority tells them.
They can't think deeply about complex issues.
Right. No. Well, you don't need that. The people telling you what to think know what's
what happens when those people die?
Then what you have learned your whole life from those people that are now dead, you can now teach to the people below you or the new people.
All you need is God, guns, and
a good smoker.
And Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan. Newt Gingrich. Jared taking a delicious sip of whiskey.
Whiskey.
I wish it were.
So how does that story make you feel, Adam? That's really angry. What I'm going to get to.
Make Adam angry. The Texas GOP did come out and say that the critical thinking skills portion of it made it in by mistake, and they regret the oversight. But because
the TV audience will have noticed that Adam applied the air quotes.
Oh, yeah. Because the mistake was part of the platform approved by the convention, it cannot be corrected until the next convention in 2014.
So they actually wrote it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they just accidentally put it in. But they definitely wanted it there. You think?
Come on.
Yeehaw.
It's not. I mean, because it's like it's not just that one sentence. It's you know. So there's also
it's a big long paragraph, Jared. It's like 3 or 4 sentences.
Mm-hmm. They also have other weird things in there about, like, so for instance, for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, we oppose the act through which the federal government would coerce religious business owners and employees to violate their own beliefs and principles by affirming what they consider to be sinful and sexually immoral behavior. On homosexuality, we affirm the practice of homosexuality
Stop right there.
We affirm that the practice of homosexuality tears at the fabric of society and contributes to the breakdown of the family unit.
Boy, that was really gay.
This is, you know, one of the two. There's only two political parties, you know, really, and like we know that that's their stance, but like to actually put it in writing for a thing is. It's like that. And this was like the weirdest random one. On the UN's Treaty on the Rights of the Child, which is a United Nations treaty on work conditions for children and stuff like that, we unequivocally oppose the United States Senate's ratification of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. That's all they say about it in there.
I don't say...
Nope, not why, just... They just oppose it.
So you did a lot of research in the blogosphere after reading this. What are people saying about this?
People are saying this is dumb.
Wow. And that is right
you're
from
a doo-doo head.
Brian Williams. Right out of Brian Williams' mouth into your piece of paper.
Brian Williams is too busy trying to be a comedic actor to have a real thought on
and
this.
And watching his daughter on Girls.
Oh, yeah.
All comes back to Girls with you guys.
It does.
Never watched it.
You're missing out. What else, Adam?
Louis C.K. announced a new tour, and he sold $4.5 million worth of tickets in just 2 days.
I helped contribute to that fund.
So did I.
Are you going to
the Thursday? I'm going to the Friday one.
Yeah, me too.
All right, maybe I'll see you there.
All right, awesome.
I think you'll do your best to not see him there,
right.
Knowing you're...
We'll do this.
You wear a wig.
Yes. So, Louis C.K. earlier in the
year... At the Minneapolis Convention Center. What a strange place.
Yes. Really?
Yeah.
Well, you got to go to a non-Ticketmaster venue.
So exactly.
Adam will illustrate why.
Yes. So, earlier...
He's actually going to draw a picture. Adam's artwork. Remember those days?
Earlier in the year, Louis C.K., for $5, put one of his stand-up specials online for people to buy for $5. And
got my money.
30 seconds long.
Got my money as well.
That's
joke.
How he made the money. 30 seconds. Two jokes.
And he made a lot of money out of it. He didn't have to go through HBO or Showtime, even though he probably would have made more overall with it.
Or Discovery Health, for instance.
Right.
They're always looking for good.
Exactly.
He does talk a lot of bodily functions in
medical,
his comedy. So.
Medical comedy jam,
yeah.
Baby.
So he's kind of taking that to another step here. Like Jared mentioned, he's avoiding Ticketmaster venues and going. The tickets can only be sold through his website, and it uses Etix, which there's a couple other venues in the area that use that. Your name's printed on every ticket to help reduce the possibility of resale. And if you do sell your ticket for more, it can be canceled. So if you try to like sell it on Craigslist for more than the purchase price.
Or an eBay.
Yep.
PayPal.
They know the serial number, you know, tied to your email address maybe.
And, Google Docs.
And cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
So they will refund
local
your
flea market.
Your purchase price if you do that. So basically just trying to get resellers out of it as much as possible.
Is he doing any endoscopy jokes?
I hope
doing
so.
The Faith Hill.
It's Faith Hilling.
What am I doing? Jared, what am I doing?
I don't even want to know.
I'm actually grabbing onto my nipples right now.
Wow.
How deformed am I?
Those are very flexible. Lots of pliability there.
So, let me keep my shorts on.
So he's playing in some strange venues here in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. He'll be playing at the Convention Center, which is more of a businessy type venue. Yep. And it's like that's where the RV show is and the outdoor lawn care show and stuff like that. But there is a auditorium in there. I think it's smaller than the state and stuff. So he's playing two nights there.
He's also playing down at the McDonald's Fun Zone down on American Boulevard and 76th Street.
Sweet. Right. That actually bigger than the Convention Center. Surprisingly.
And they're building a new Menards, Jared. He'll be in there as well.
Wow.
They're still 8 months away from finishing it.
Ticketmaster venues.
He'll
That's
be right
the key.
In there.
That is the key.
So, you know, these are all kind of similar acts to what Radiohead did. And, you know, that kind of became a big thing when they released their
radio,
album.
Das Radio Kopf, as the Germans would say.
Sure.
Is that because they speak German?
Germans speak German?
Is that
they've been known.
Okay. Huh. I just wanted to clear that up.
I wasn't aware. So it's kind of cool. We saw a few other comedians copy Louis C.K. with releasing their own stand-up special.
Judy Tenuta,
Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan and Aziz Ansari.
How about the Aziz one?
Yep. I did too.
Shecky Green.
It was the exact same show he did when he was here like 3 years ago. So that was a little disappointing.
Which I hadn't seen.
And I don't mind throwing $5 at comedians that I really like.
As long as it's a roll of quarters.
Right, literally throw them. Yeah.
I think if you buy a live show or you watch a live show from a comedian, you have to if and you've seen them, prior to that, you have to expect that you're going to have probably seen that material.
Unless it's Louis C.K., because he changes his act every year.
True.
He is a pro.
Yeah. He is.
But typically, you write all this material, you perform it, you hone it, and then you do a special or an album or something, and then you toss all that material away and
toss
start
it out.
Fresh. Start fresh.
I once read a review of, he had like two shows in Boston, back-to-back nights, and it was like the Boston Globe's city paper doing a review of both nights and how each show is a little over an hour and maybe 10 minutes of both shows were the same jokes, but everything else was different. And he's kind of just known to do that. And they don't always work, you know, he's kind of always, if he's working on new jokes.
So you're saying I should have gotten to both shows.
What's great. That? Oh, yeah.
Great.
I'm interested in pratfalls. Does he do pratfalls?
Almost all pratfalls. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so
shenanigans.
Different.
You would be amazed at the amount of materials delivered from a prone position with him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's very shocking.
Thanks for inviting me, guys. Right. You know me. I'm the biggest pratfall guy there is.
Well, you got to follow Louis C.K. on Twitter, and you'll get the notice when stuff happens.
I don't know. I'm perfectly fine following Elizabeth Hasselbeck from View.
Okay.
That's where I get my comedy.
That's fair. That's fair.
Do we want to talk about Obamacare stuff at all? Like, do you guys have anything to say? I was just going to talk about CNN and Fox News fucking up the thing.
I can just tell you that I was watching CNN when it happened.
Yeah.
And then Jared, what do you think about this?
And by the time I had, I was part of the conversation, things had been cleared up already.
So. Not according to me, it wasn't. I said, hey, Jared, what do you think about this Obamacare? And he said that it's been passed. And I said, not by my info. And Jared was right, as he always is.
Well, I happened to be in the break room when ABC News was on. They were talking about how it was upheld. And then, you know, more details came out over the course of the day.
I was at one of my very other liberal friends at work. I was by his desk, mm-hmm. and we were talking about work stuff.
And you grabbed out your ding-dongs and diddled each other.
He had SCOTUS Blog's site up, and they were kind of, you know, they had a reporter in the courtroom. They were typing it up as it was happening. So immediately they were like, everything's upheld. And
SCOTUS Blog has been quoted many times as being probably the most reliable source on this type of stuff.
So he's on one side of the building. I walk all the way back to my desk, and I sit down, and I tell my coworker, who's a staunch conservative, about it. And he's like, really? So he goes to pull it up on
Drudge Report. Yeah.
And I go to CNN to show him. Because it's only two keys you have to press.
Just CNN. Press twice. That's three total key pushes.
Right.
Keystrokes.
So easy. Your fingers barely move. And they had differing
coincidentally,
information.
That's also Adam's masturbatory technique. Fingers barely move.
He doesn't need to, Jared. He's extra sensitive.
I can do it just with my brain alone.
It's amazing.
And rubbing up on a wall, maybe. It's usually enough.
The wall, boy, you know?
Especially a stuccoed one. That's what he really likes.
I like the textured wallpaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope it's not like this pressed wood board here. It might be tricky.
All right. How about some TV news?
How about us?
Have you guys been watching Life's a Trip?
No. What is that?
That's Bristol Palin's new reality show.
No. Well, I can't miss it.
I don't get her channel. What is she on?
He doesn't get it.
Lifetime.
He doesn't understand it.
Lifetime.
Nah. Oh, I guess
you get Lifetime, Jared.
I suppose.
Part of the basic cable package.
The only show I watch on there is Project Runway.
Well, Life's a Trip. Not getting great ratings. No. Moved out of
Even
prime
for
time.
Lifetime.
Yeah.
So eight people are
After the second episode aired, it has now been moved from 10 p.m. where it was, you know, family hour.
Sure.
Into 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Where it's bound to get more viewers.
Oddly enough, Trump's in Craig Ferguson at that time.
Strange. Sad. Very strange. Are we done with the Palin family? Are we just...
Yeah, I think they're done.
Seriously?
I think there will always be a group of people that just want to know everything about them.
They once they were brought into their lives, they never want to let them go.
Hey.
Yeah.
Guilty as charged.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, the third episode has been...
Third episode, they've already been moved.
Yeah. They're advertising this heavily because Bristol's mom, who I really liked it in the article...
Who's her mom?
Not named.
Just her mom.
It just says, next week's heavily advertised episode features Bristol's mom. So that could, in theory, help boost the numbers. But the chances are the show's downward trend, coupled with this time slot shift, will keep the ratings headed downward. A couple more entertainment items. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, divorced. Everyone, what was your favorite tweet yesterday regarding this? Because I'm sure you saw some funny ones.
I didn't, actually.
No. One I saw said...
not very good for a comedy show, is it?
Katie Holmes files divorce while Tom Cruise attends Magic Mike matinee. Yeah. He thought it was funny. Because there's always been rumors that he's gay, guys.
Whoa.
No, first of all, I never said that.
Did both of you watch Dawson's Creek?
Goes right by it. I did watch Dawson's Creek.
What about you, Jared? It wasn't on cable.
Jared did
Dawson's Creek. Yeah, I watched it.
Did you like Michelle Williams or what's her face?
I was Katie Holmes. Back then. I was a Katie Holmes.
Me too.
Person then.
I think Michelle Williams is
That'll
way
be Kate's
hotter now.
To see what she wants.
I think so too. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. I think
is
about
it,
her
is it
all
talent.
The time.
Does talent make you more attractive?
Of course it does.
It might. Michelle Williams is clearly more talented.
Yes. But also just prettier. I mean, just
yeah. She grew into it, didn't she?
She definitely did.
I thought Katie Holmes kind of had that cuteness going on, and I don't know that it maintained.
Yeah.
I mean, not that she's like hideous or anything like that, but
she's mousy kind of.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I don't know.
When I reposted the Tom Cruise electrocutes Oprah video, did you watch that yesterday?
No.
I did that. I watched it and I laughed out loud, like bursting out into laughter, because I just think it's so freaking funny. Tom likes it. It does hold up.
And the last item. Do you guys see the trailer for The Man with the Iron Fists?
No.
What's that?
Salt Lake's to it a couple times.
I'm way behind.
This is RZA's new movie from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay.
He's directing it. I think he co-wrote it. It's with Eli Roth.
Mm-hmm.
It's being presented by Quentin Tarantino, though no one knows what that really means because he's not. He doesn't really have a real credit.
He probably just smoked some hashish with him.
And it just looks like a really awesome kung fu movie, mm-hmm. like modern kung fu movie. And I would just say everyone should go watch it because it's kind of cool. People are hyping it up a little bit more than it needs to. Entertainment Weekly's headline. The Man with the Iron Fist trailer. Best promo of all time or just the century so far?
Oh,
we can listen to it, I guess.
In typical Scope fashion.
There's apparently some forging going on here.
Yeah. He's forging his Iron Fist.
Quentin Tarantino presents.
When you forge a weapon.
That's the RZA.
You need three things.
The RZA.
The right metal.
Metal.
Temperatures over 1400 degrees.
Ooh, that's hot.
And someone who wants to kill.
Hey, was that Russell Crowe?
Yes.
Sweet.
Russell Crowe, Lucy Liu.
Hidden Jungle Village.
Hayden Panettiere.
Sure. Where's she been? What happened to her after
she's on a new show this
anyway,
fall.
That's enough of that.
With Connie Britton. Yes. Called Nashville.
Hey, do you guys watch the Today Show in the morning?
Nope. No.
Okay. Mandy does.
She and devastated she by Ann
She didn't even know until, like, I guess those rumors have been going around for weeks. That Ann Curry was being forced out.
Yeah.
And also
lots of headlines about it. But
they don't talk about that on NPR, so there's no way your lady would ever know that.
That's true.
Or PBS.
Yeah. It's weird.
What I'm saying is she's classy, is what I'm saying. She's a classy broad.
Yeah, I didn't know what was happening. And all the things I read said things like about how Ann Curry is like robotic and unable to... And I've never... You guys don't watch the show, so it's not helpful.
But. I like the soup clipper. She says, good morning. How are you? Good morning. Here are the headlines. It's good morning. This morning, good morning. My wife can do that one. That's why I'm with her.
That is it for news.
Hey, I don't watch the show. What are you going
to
do?
That's it for news. Well, let's keep pushing on.
Yeah.
Okay. To reviews. We've got two movies on the docket.
On the docket!
Adam, do you want to take, or do you want me to start it? We can have a legitimate review.
Yeah, here, I'll start.
He's doing it.
You sure? You don't want a breather? I mean, there's a hefty news segment.
I got to just get pushed through and then I'll be done.
Push through.
Take a nap.
Got it.
All right, Ted. We saw that this morning. It's a 2012 American comedy. I don't know if you know what that means. It means it's a comedy.
What is this American
Made in America.
About?
Made in America. One of the only production things we have left in this country.
We still make movies.
Films.
A lot of them are shot in Canada.
You're right.
Yukon Blonde
and
soundtrack
of,
masters.
And all of Nicolas Cage's shot in Europe.
There's no time!
It was written, directed, and produced by Seth MacFarlane of... Oh, let's count all the different shows. Family Guy.
Yes.
Cleveland Show.
I don't have
American
it up here.
Dad.
Yes.
That other one.
Yep. The canceled Flintstones reboot.
Yep.
Yes. I think with Rosie O'Donnell in the role of Wilma again, it would have been great. I don't know what they're thinking.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell did Betty.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Did she really?
Yeah.
That's weird. Don't some people think of Betty as like a sexy cartoon lady?
Well, they're both. Wilma and Betty were both kind of shapely.
Oh, okay.
You know who's not shapely?
John Goodman.
You're wrong. Right. Very shapely. The movie
not the kind of shape that you want to see, is what you're telling me.
Mark Wahlberg.
You've not
Mila
seen him in a
Kunis,
bustle.
A very creepy Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah.
And Patrick Warburton. and an uncredited Ryan Reynolds.
Spoiler alert!
The film is the directorial debut for McFarlane, or at least a movie debut. Yeah, I can read the plot here. How about that? In 1985 in Boston, John Bennett, played by Mark Wahlberg, is a lonely child who dearly wishes for his new Christmas gift, a large teddy bear named Ted, to come to life and be his friend. That wish coincided with the falling star. Everyone knows the rules of falling stars and wishes. Mm-hmm. And Ted became a fully mobile, sapient being. After the whole Bennett family got over the shock, word of the miracle spread, and Ted was briefly a celebrity. 27 years later, Ted and John are still staunch, if immature, companions, enjoying a hedonistic life, even when John is pursuing a years-long relationship with the level-headed office worker, Lori. Lori? Was that really her name? I thought it was like Lauren or something.
That was Lori.
Okay. As their fourth anniversary of their relationship approaches, Lori hopes to marry John, but she feels she can't move ahead. He can't move ahead with his life with Ted around.
Lesson we've learned: after 4 years, you must marry your longtime girlfriend. How long have you been with your lady, Adam?
4 years plus two.
Jared, what about you?
4 years plus like four.
Lot of a scope yeah. wedding specials coming up this year.
You have to have a double wedding with your double 4 years.
No, not
4 years, four months.
Oh, sorry. So you're 6 years. I'm 4 years plus 4 months. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I did not understand the math problem.
Don't be tardy for the wedding. That's going to be our show.
All right. So let's listen to a couple clips from the movie.
Yeah.
The first one here, near the beginning of the movie, Johnny and Ted are talking about maybe some different names for beers, for drinks.
Is that the first one or the second one? That is the first one. Here we go.
Hey, Johnny, how about a beer, huh?
Hey. Ooh, a couple Charles Bukowskis.
A couple Bruce Stoyevskis.
Maybe a Mike Brugaslowski.
Perhaps a Teddy Bruski.
That's a good one.
You know what? I think I too want a Martina Nevertabruski.
Oh, no, that doesn't work. No, don't ruin it. No.
That totally works.
No.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it doesn't work. The name has to have a ski at the end of it, and you just put Bruski at the end of Martina Navratilova, so.
Well, I just thought we were saying funny names.
No, it has to have a ski at the end of it, otherwise, where's a challenge? You know, if there's no ski at the end of the root word, then we would just be idiots saying nonsense.
Yo, Jared, I'll take a Luke Bruski.
Nice.
What are you going to have?
I don't know. I don't want to play this game.
Sorry.
Got anything, Adam?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
A beer, ski, long jump. Right?
Moving on.
Energy people.
Next up, again, Johnny and Ted talking about life, you know, what they're into. Specifically,
Boston ladies.
Look, all I'm saying is that Boston women are, on the whole, a paler, uglier sort than women from the elsewheres of life.
That's bullshit. What about Lori? She's hot.
No, Lori's from Pennsylvania. It's not a Boston girl.
They're not that bad.
See, the fact that you have to say they're not that bad means that they are that bad. Do you ever hear a Boston girl have an orgasm? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Had it. Oh, God, that was so good.
There you go.
It's a little bit of Minnesota taken orgasm from the in there.
A little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Ted came out this weekend.
Wow, he's gay?
I did not get that from
the movie. He was covering it up. I mean, come on. He was a little bit too...
little overcompensating, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, four hookers. Come on.
Well, you know, only one of them did dump on the floor.
He doesn't even have a penis.
Right. You don't need a penis to be gay.
That's true. That is true.
So, yeah, what do you guys think?
Jared, get your ding ready.
Oh, wow.
So,
get my ding ready. just my ding?
So let's go through the Seth MacFarlane checklist of what to expect at any Seth MacFarlane property.
So what to expect when you're expecting to watch a Seth MacFarlane film.
Okay. A, Seth MacFarlane.
Yep, we got that.
B, sudden cutaways.
Got that.
Now,
C,
there are only two of those.
Yeah, but there is still,
yes, I know.
Still a movie. Yes. C, weird orchestral music. Like poppy.
Yep, got that.
Obscure 80s pop culture references.
Yep, we have it.
That's Giovanni Ribisi dancing to...
Tiffany.
Tiffany was a really good scene.
I agree.
Patrick Warburton?
Yes.
And a lot of weird East Coast, Boston-esque references.
New England
references. Yes. There we go, we got it. That's the movie. and a strange lead character.
A lead character who's best friends with a...
Fictional?
A character that would normally not be able to talk.
Yes.
Excellent.
What? So, am I supposed to ding it? All right, I was done counting it off.
So there you go. That's the components of the movie Ted. As we did talk about, we saw it early this morning. So it wasn't maybe the best crowd to see a comedic movie.
No. The senior citizen couple were
seriously, but between the two of them, they had to be about 175. but nonetheless, we did it. We saw it for this show.
Yep.
My feelings, it kind of played like a middle of the range Family Guy episode.
Yeah.
It had some funny moments.
Yeah.
Had some not funny moments. There are some things I really enjoyed comedically, but other things that it just sort of fell flat on me.
It's like Universal was like, hey, we have a deal with you, I assume, Seth MacFarlane, and we have a spot in the middle of the summer for a comedy. I know it's April. Can you get something together fast enough?
My understanding is he's actually had this idea in mind for a long time. At least I don't remember exactly what he said when he was on The Daily Show this past week, but... this isn't something that was just rushed out as far as his creative process. He's been thinking about this story for a while.
He doesn't stray far from what's comfortable, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean...
For better or for worse. You know, I mean, it wasn't insulting. It's better than I thought it was going to be. I think that, you know, something like where you have a special effect character, I thought that worked really well, actually. I mean, I rarely did feel like it was, you know, breaking reality. And a lot of that has to do with how they filmed it, and there's a lot of nighttime stuff, and you know, whatever, not natural daylight. So
I still think the compositing was
it was very
pretty much flawless.
It was very, very impressive. It's kind of fun to see movies get to that point,
especially the fight scene.
The fight scene looked great. I mean, everything looked pretty good. Yeah. I think
for me, it was sort of it was almost like the comedy had the opposite effect of what its intent was. And what I mean by that is that some of the stuff that was intended to be offensive or over the top, wasn't that funny to me? It fell flat.
Yeah.
But there were some other smaller, subtler things that might have even been improv bits that I burst out laughing at. So it was sort of strange in that way. I don't know, but I liked some of the smaller roles. I thought they were fun. Patrick Warburton's role was fun. Mm-hmm. I felt like the whole Giovanni Ribisi story with him and his son wanting to take Ted off of John's hands. Sort of strange and not necessarily necessary and got a bit overwrought and probably contributed to the film being longer than it needed to be, but I don't know.
As soon as they made the appearance, you knew exactly how that was going to play out. You knew how that puzzle piece fit into the movie and how it was going to drive the ending of the story.
Yeah, and it sort of took it to a darker place, which I don't know if that actually benefited the film in that regard, because I mean, the film was already dealing with you know, relationship stuff and not always being a funny film, but, you know, trying to be serious at times. And I just thought that was kind of a weird thing to throw in there that didn't really make sense. But
Once again, this movie has the same problem that many do, which is you've got the beautiful, all-together-with-it girl who is madly in love with a guy that she probably wouldn't be, even if, in this case, I mean, they acknowledge that she's really that he's really good-looking.
You can't quite get it together,
but it's like he's a loser, you know? I mean, he clearly spends most of his time smoking pot and hanging out. So a little
too much pot humor, too. Yeah. I'm kind of over pot jokes, honestly.
Did you notice that Marky Mark's hair was... Sometimes it was big, sometimes it was small. Yeah, it was like they went back to refilm or something like that, but they didn't match the wigs up. Sometimes it looked like he was in Boogie Nights, and sometimes it looked like he was 1996.
Pantsless scenes look Boogie Nights.
I think you're probably right there.
All right.
But, you know, we're dogging it a lot, but there were good moments.
I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. It was $5. That's all we spent on it. $5, it was
I don't feel cheated out of that $5. I'll say that.
Adam?
Wrote down some I'm notes. Gonna lead off by saying that Mila Kunis and Emma Stone are friends in real life, and I think I think about
so
that.
So you're
all
thinking
the time.
You're thinking three way.
Yep. I agree with you about being annoyed with the. I don't like the girlfriend character archetype that is portrayed in a lot of these movies. But the thing I dislike the most is, like, I think there are genuine motivations that could have been expressed from Mila Kunis's character. To say, hey, you need to grow up a little bit. But the way they do it is it kind of comes off as this naggy...
Yeah, a bitch.
Right.
Like, I'm going to change you because that's just the way it needs
and
to be.
I, like, I feel like there's way more legitimate way ways of doing that. Like, Sarah Silverman's character in School of Rock, she's Mike White's girlfriend in that. That's the ultimate awful version of that, because all she does is bitch about... what's the name from... Jack Black. All she does is bitch about him the entire time. So, like, I'm still... I would really like to like Mila Kunis' character more, because I like Mila Kunis.
And she's like, she was good in the movie, I thought.
Yes, from an acting perspective, but, like, I always wind up tying the actor and the character together for whatever reason. And I think that Mark Wahlberg should only play against type from now on, because...
Yeah, that Boston guy thing is just kind of getting tired.
But in movies where he's the straight man, or even a comedic movie where he's, you know, kind of the, you know, doing comedy like he was here, I like way more than any of his action movies. Because I saw Contraband on a plane recently. Man, that's a bad movie. Mm. He should just, like, the other guys, I think, he was really good in that. So he should be like The Rock.
I've always felt he's been one note for me in almost everything that I've seen him in.
You clearly have never seen him in that movie where the plants kill everyone.
He was in The Fighter, right?
I liked him in The Fighter.
Yes. Oh,
The Fighter, but he wasn't the strongest thing in The Fighter. I loved Boogie Nights, but he wasn't the strongest thing in Boogie Nights.
Right? Sure.
He's never been the strongest.
He's probably not a good lead actor.
No.
That's probably what it comes down to.
And it's no offense to him, you know? He's really created a nice career for him. He's a big time producer of movies and TV shows, and good for him. But as an actor, he just never done much for me. Same here on this movie.
The Wiener.
There were some jokes I enjoyed in this movie more because of Adam's reaction than my own. Because there were some, I don't remember
would
exactly
Adam
what they
grab
were.
Your pecker no, in it or what?
Adam would just really, really enjoy a particular moment, and I would just laugh along with him.
Adam doesn't really laugh super loud, though. You look over, he sort of smiles big. Yeah. I mean, that's how I notice. I like to look at Adam when he's watching movies.
I was sitting next to him, so I got a little more of the proximity. He was giving off a vibe of enjoyment.
A glowing vibe.
At a particular moment.
That's me.
Well, it's fun. It's fun when you can get that from Adam. Good times. Well, let's give this thing a score, guys.
The Scope score is 2.25 stars.
I will recommend, if you're a fan of the 1980s Flash Gordon film, you should see this one.
Yeah.
I like that we got through that entire review without talking about
it. I totally forgot about
that. That's a key part of the movie that's, I don't know if you want to have that spoiled.
All right.
Okay, so
I'm just saying, if you're a fan of the film,
Let me do a quick sort of instant review of Pixar's Brave. I saw that last weekend.
So it's an instant review.
So it's instantly a week old. So the story is, it's set in the highlands of 10th century Scotland. A skilled archer named Merida defies an age-old custom, causing chaos in her kingdom. After consulting a witch for help, her family becomes cursed, and she is forced to undo the spell herself before it is too late. Voices, you've got all the usual suspects that you would expect, like Craig Ferguson.
Kevin Spacey?
Craig Ferguson, Billy Connolly, all the people that actually have a Scottish...
Scottish
slant to their voice. Also, Kelly MacDonald and Emma Thompson. Quickly, the movie is sort of... I don't know if the general populace would consider it a return to Pixar form. It's still got mixed reviews. I liked it a lot, actually. I liked the fact that it's one of the first, or the first animated film I've ever seen that focuses on a strong female character and her relationship with her mother.
This is exactly what I said after we saw The Avengers, and we talked about the trailers that we had seen, and I said, Mandy is actually excited for this movie because Mandy's very much into not, teaching girls that princesses are, you know, what you want to strive to be and stuff like that. And both of you guys, or at least specifically you, were like, all vowels.
We know the vowel thing.
Like singing a 90s song.
If I did say that, which I doubt that I did, because I'm usually right.
Let's go to the tape.
Right on point. I'm the only one reviewing the tape, so I'm not concerned about it.
If I voiced any objection, it was because I wasn't that super excited to see the film, which I haven't seen yet. So,
but if I did say that, I have to say that it works in the story. I think that the relationship between Merida and her mom, and how that kind of transforms literally through the film, works on many different levels. I like that it's more realistic. There's a little bit of supernatural aspect to it, actually a lot, but it's not
what some people have a problem with.
Yeah, but it's at the same time, I just think it works within it. I think
it's not a history lesson.
It's not a history lesson, Adam.
It's like Game of Thrones. They can like throw in magic if they want to.
They absolutely can. It's a life lesson, is what it is.
Oh, nice.
So a lot of nudity and
tons of nudity,
sex and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. I like
violence.
Has anyone ever compared Brave to Game of Thrones? You think before this?
All the time, I'm sure. All the time.
Unique.
I like the fact that Pixar is willing, with the exception of Cars 2, to try to push in different directions and give you different sides of the human experience. And good for them for doing something that's not typical and not necessarily expected. I liked it. I say go see it. Visually, it's great. I give it a chance.
What's their next? What's their next movie that's been announced?
Is it Monsters University?
I think so. Okay.
Yeah. Which trailer looked great on that, by the way. So let's give it a score.
The Scoop score is 3 stars.
So there you have it, folks. 3 stars. Check it out.
Where does it rank in the picks? Now, you don't have to go through all of them.
It's right in the middle somewhere.
Okay.
Right in the middle.
Above Cars 2.
I never saw Cars 2.
3 stars for right in the middle for Pixar. That's high praise.
I think Pixar has made two flaws. I still don't think Cars is a great film.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen Cars 2, but I would assume that's kind of in the
Bug's Life, obviously, still the top.
Obviously.
Ants tied right with it, even though that's a
not even. It's, you know, it's their sort of companion.
And Prince of Egypt, right?
They're bookends.
Right.
They're bookends.
They tell the entire circle of life.
Ant story. Under the Scope. Continues right. With...
Yeah.
Coming soon. Adam's going to find there's not a lot on there, Jared. It's a 4th of July week coming up, so that really impacts releases.
Interesting.
Sure does. Music, July 3rd, Chris Brown's new album's coming out, and Flo Rida's new album as well, but that's it. That's all you got listed anyway. July 10th, Hank Williams Jr. I know
the soundtrack to my next party is going to be.
I do too.
Did you include Hank Williams Jr. on here because the Obamacare ruling just came out?
No, but I think it's nice.
I like that album title. Old School.
Oh, right. He's super right-wing. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
He probably advocates rebellion right now.
Let's do it. Rebel against our country.
Mission of Burma. That's a band. I don't know who that is. And POD. Everyone's favorite late 90s metalcore.
They're back.
Rapcore. POD.
They're back and they're bringing it.
They had the song on, like, what was the XFL? On the XFL, POD's...
You're a big XFL guy?
Yeah. POD's one song, which I can't remember the name of, was the song that they used to, like, introduce it. So instead
I have that song on Rock Band.
Okay. Instead of, like, you know, the Fox Sports thing, it was some bad, you know, metalcore song. There you go. Movies, July 3rd, The Amazing Spider-Man. Have you guys seen the video out there that's 26 minutes long of all the footage that Sony has put out for The Amazing Spider-Man, but in the appropriate order?
No.
I'm aware of its existence, but I haven't watched it.
Okay, I haven't watched it yet either.
What's the point? I'm probably going to see the movie anyway.
Right.
So.
Reviews of that 26-minute clip so far by people that have seen the movie basically say, yep, this is the movie.
Okay.
So,
the trailer that we saw today pretty much tells you the entire thing.
Yeah.
Not a lot left to the imagination.
July 6th, Savages, which I had not seen an actual trailer for before today. I'd only read about it. That looks really interesting.
Yeah, I'm on board for that.
Yeah, this is the Oliver Stone.
Really? You guys are on board on that?
Why not? Looks awesome.
Yeah, I don't know.
You didn't think it looked good?
You just don't like Taylor Kitsch and Blake Lively.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm on board on that one.
What is it that you don't like? Tell me
what violence?
Everything.
Too violent?
Too sexy, too violent,
the
too stylistic.
The threesome between the main three characters?
I didn't like the
threesome.
You're
done with Salma Hayek. You know,
done.
Anything
I think Salma Hayek looks pretty shitty in that movie. I think she looks like the weakest character. POD's Songs and Rock Band would be Alive and Youth of the Nation. Brought to you by Jared's Shane.com. Once again, that's Shane.com. 2 A's. My Rock Band list.
my one POD album I have in here have anything to do with those songs. Okay.
July 13th, Ice Age Continental Drift.
I feel so alive.
Yeah, that's the song. That's the song.
We are. Into the Nation. That song. That's
thank goodness they're coming back with another album.
Yeah. DVD, July 3rd. Rocco's Modern Life, season 3. That's pretty funny. And Man vs. Wild, July 10th. American Reunion, Comic-Con Episode 4, A Fan's Hope. I've been waiting for that.
I want to see
Morgan
that.
Spurlock's Comic-Con documentary.
Definitely want to see that.
G.I. Joe Season 2, Part 2. Is that an Earl pickup right there?
No, I just threw it in there.
All right. Video games, not too much. Test Drive, Ferrari Racing Legends. Oh, do you guys buy Madden anytime every year?
No, but this year I might. I've been reading some good
things
about it.
There's currently a pre-order. If you buy it through Newegg, there's a coupon code to get it for $15 off on Newegg.
So that is weird.
Search the Google for that.
Newegg.
Did you know that, Jared?
I know Newegg.
Look, this is coincidence. July 8th, there's a video game coming out called Ice Age Continental Drift. There's also a movie coming out the same week.
Synchro-effing-nicity.
It's got to be a coincidence.
You think they're related? Also,
I can't see how.
NCAA Football 13 for people that like being able to do laterals in their football games.
Hey, they got rid of the BCS championship. It's all going to do a four-team tourney now.
As I like to call it, a tourney.
A tourney. I don't know if four teams is enough, but whatever. If you like college football, then maybe you like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
All right. Some people do.
Whatever.
Is that it?
You're not convincing me.
That's the last thing that is coming soon.
Hey, okay. Jared, close it up. Close up the grab bag.
Under the scope.
Well, here we are, boys. Are we 2 hours into this bad boy? What's our time?
1 hour 35. Not bad.
Oh, we're doing it.
Not bad.
A brisk pace.
And we're going to keep it tight because I don't actually have any comments this week because nobody decided to comment on anything.
What the hell is going on?
Go actually, fuck yourselves. I can do some comments.
We're trying harder. And we're getting less back.
I'm not really trying harder.
No, I think you are. Right. You deny it. You're a denier.
Yeah, just climate change denier. Do you think climate change is real, Shane?
The verdict's still out. Sure.
Verdict is still out. How can we be sure? Until we know all of the facts, we can't do anything, right?
All the animals have died and until we're dead, we're never really going to know.
Right.
It's just going to be part of the natural thing.
Probably. It's very fatalistic. I'm okay with that.
So I put out on the Facebook page that we were doing scope discoveries on this show, and I asked our audience, what's some of the stuff that you're into? Mm-hmm. And these are some of the comments I got.
A lot of serious comments, I'm sure.
A friend of the show, Luke Ski, says, recently watched all 26 episodes of the animated show The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Any experience with that, fellas?
No.
No?
I hear it's good, though.
I hear it's good. If you're into that.
What channel? Is that on Cartoon Network?
I couldn't even tell you. Probably.
You know what I watched? The Legend of Korra, which was the follow-up to Avatar The Last Airbender. That is a good show.
It is a good show.
Internet loves it.
I feel like the first season should have been longer.
It's over already?
Yeah. It's only 10 episodes. But anyway.
Stop stealing Jared's thunder.
All right, reading comments here.
Cartoons.
That's okay. Luke also says he's watching Rescue Me and Game of Thrones and is still in season one of both.
I just finished season... Did you both watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Of course we did.
No spoilers.
I just watched the end of... I just finished season two. Mandy and I kind of wait for them all to be done.
Well, then we're all together.
Season two is so much better than season one, but I have talked to people that disagree with me vehemently.
Are they book readers? Are they unhappy with some of the changes?
Molly, do they breathe through their mouths or their...
Molly is one of the examples.
No, Molly's got big opinions.
Well, yeah.
They can't afford to put everything on screen. That's my defense.
I don't know what their seems like a weird issue to take up with something like that when you have your Harry Potters and your Hunger Games out there.
It's good. Shut your mouth. That's what I said.
I thought season one was very mediocre.
But you're wrong.
Well, I disagree with that.
You are wrong.
Okay, I found it above average.
Okay,
fair enough.
Like a C+.
Mediocre, by the way, means average. So
I know I'm saying above mediocre, but above mediocre is not a saying.
We're not buying it.
The connotation.
You're still angry about the George Bush head on a stick controversy.
What a ridiculous.
So now season two, just really good.
Agreed.
Here's how I felt after the end of season one.
Wow, here we are.
I wanted the dragon lady. I don't know anyone's name in the show.
Daenerys.
Daenerys Targaryen. I was like, you know what?
Yes, Daenerys. Just like the...
Adam Sinjin.
She's the only one that I don't hate. So okay. I hope that she just comes with her dragons and wipes everyone out.
Well, you might
just like to see her naked.
You don't see her naked. You see her without clothing, but she's covered up.
I think you see her boobs in the first season.
You do.
Oh, she's banging Khal Drogo? Or maybe then too.
Yeah. No, it's a couple of times.
Okay.
You should have seen them in season two, but they decided to modify the traditional Carthian dress. Just saying. If you're a book reader, you're disappointed you weren't...
I need to read those books.
I would say George R. R. Martin comes off kind of creepy in the Rolling Stone interview with him. Very like a parents' basement dweller.
Look at him. Guy. Give me a break.
It looks like Harry Knowles' dad.
Yeah, I saw him recently on the Sword and Laser show on the Geek and Sundry channel. Yeah, he's a little creepy, but whatever. He writes good stuff. Thomas says, I'm into reading status updates from the Scope right now.
Yeah. Then it all goes downhill.
Yeah,
there.
I got one real response, and then, yeah.
And then jokes.
Angela says, sleeping and shoes. But right now, mostly sleeping. So there you go.
I doubt that. I say shoes is more of her modus operandi.
I think so. But she was sick when she wrote it, so she's mostly sleeping. Shoes don't make you feel better when you're sick.
You can only wear two of them at a time, Adam.
You know, if you're into shoes and sleeping or Game of Thrones or anything else, let us know. You can contact us by emailing us at commentsatthescopeshow.com. Call the voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. Put that in your phone, because we're going to go to Convergence this coming weekend. And if you've got something exciting happened, call in. Leave us a message.
Well, I'm sure the phone lines are going to light up.
Shane, I like to throw it out there. I want to remind people that they have that option.
We're going to have to make our own content there.
I agree. That's every year. That's how it is. But anyway.
I like that you're pushing it anyway.
Yep. You can join our Facebook fan page or page. I don't think they call them fan pages anymore. They just call them pages.
It's
you can
blowing
like it.
Up.
You can like it. You can like it. That's where I read those comments. You can be part of that.
Yep. You can show some positivity.
You can be part of that and get regular updates when we're live streaming or when we're doing whatever. If they allowed us to keep our shorts on, we will let you know right there on the Facebook page.
I'll let you know a lot of times.
Repeatedly. And same thing goes for Twitter. Twitter.com/TheScopeShow.
Blowing up as well.
iTunes. We've got a couple new ratings and actually a couple new reviews recently, which is good.
Keep it coming.
Keep them coming, especially now that Apple has their new podcast app. You can't review us directly in there, but you can give us a rating. So if you are subscribed to us, you can look us up in there and just brush your finger across 5 stars and help us out.
And then go to regular iTunes and write us up a review.
Yes.
Come on, stop.
Just do it. Just do it.
Stop.
You know how many hours of content we've given you? Mediocre or above average or otherwise?
We will wait.
C+ content?
Yes. If you want to support the show, one of the best ways to do that is to head over to our website at thescopeshow.com and click on the Amazon banner in the left sidebar there. Any purchases you make then through Amazon.com, little piece comes to us.
That's a hot new website
where
you can buy things.
Helps us keep the lights on. Helps us expand our media empire.
Yeah, when we're unstoppable.
Help Jeff Bezos, too.
Sure.
We're helping everyone.
Right.
He's a good guy.
Shooting stuff into space.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Isn't he part of SpaceX?
Yes.
Or am I
confusing? You're right.
All right.
Going to be what eventually becomes... what's the company called in Aliens?
The Wayland Corporation?
Yeah, eventually SpaceX will become the Wayland Corporation and doom us all.
Well, pretty much.
Let's keep pushing it towards that direction.
That is it for stuff.
Excellent.
I have a plug.
Of course, I was expecting that.
Okay.
Plug away.
If you're going to be at Convergence, stop by Harmonic Convergence, 8:30 p.m. Saturday night, where my band Possible Oscar will be performing live in front of an audience.
1 hour show, right?
We have an hour block. I don't know if we'll fill the hour. We'll see. But we'll be at like 45 minutes to an
45
hour.
45 minutes of pure awesomeness.
Stop
nothing
on by.
Nothing but background music from Ted you guys are going to be
much,
doing.
Pretty much. We've got to work on that and polish it up, but we'll have that.
Okay, good.
We'll have our brand new t-shirt for sale there, too.
Really?
Yeah. Brand new t-shirt.
I have not seen this t-shirt.
I can show it to you when we're done here.
Okay.
And I have in a box over there.
I cannot wait.
That's all I have.
Adam, are you going to be at Convergence this year?
No. Well, wait, is it the weekend before? Well, I guess that would be
weekend
this
after 4th of July.
It is next weekend.
We will be in Detroit Lakes.
Detroit Lakes. Well, we'll miss you.
I don't even know
if you could get in. It's going to be so busy this year.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
I kind of want to go because there's a big skeptic, that happens there. And a bunch of the podcasts and blog people that I follow are going to be there. So I'm kind of sad that...
You're bummed.
This is the second year I think they've had that. And I've wanted to go both
times. Well, there's always next year, I guess. Unless that endoscopy stuff comes back poorly for both of us.
Yep. Well, yeah. It's like a little bit like tentacle porn. A little bit.
And endoscopy is?
Yeah.
Everything, this is just Jared's other podcast.
Yeah, once
everything
again.
Is related to tentacle porn somehow.
That's how I roll.
It's a tentacle porn analogy is the name of his website. You can go there.
Jenga. Shangus.
Shangus Khan.
Shangus Khan. All right, guys, let's wrap this up.
Okay.
Scope 162 or 126 if you're not dyslexic. Ending up now.
I'm still learning my soundboard.
Hopefully we're back with a special edition in a few weeks. Later, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have.
Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying farewell. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.